Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
One of the biggest problems today that Christians do not understand the problem we're dealing with Islam. Islam is a problem. Islam is an issue. However, Muslims are the victims. From this video, we were showing that our goal is to love Muslims. Our goal is to reach out. Islam has existed since 622 AD. How did we as Christians deal with Islam? Many times we ignore it. Maybe we had the Crusades. Even later, somebody, I was in a state in America, an elder told me, oh, I have a solution for the Muslim world. Nuke them all. Just bomb them all and let God sort them out. Is that the spirit of Jesus? When the disciples, remember where Jesus was kicked out? And the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, do you want us to bring fire down like Elijah brought fire? Which is, they did not understand the story. The fire that Elijah brought down was not on people. It was on the sheep, on the sacrifice. And Jesus says to them, no, you don't know my heart. Today, Islam is a problem, but Muslims are the victims. We're not going. Guess what? They're coming. Are there Muslims in Holland, in Amsterdam, right? See, yes. Yeah. How many here have Muslims in your neighborhood? Why do you think they're there? Because God is actively involved. He brought them to your country, in a front country with his freedom. A country that says you can change your religion, right? You can change your religion in these countries. Europe is, in one way, it's sad that it's secular, but in one way, it's good. You can be Hindu on Monday, Buddhist on Tuesday. You can be Christian on Wednesday. You can change your religion every day. It's okay. Welcome to our Europe. Welcome to our country. They're coming. And why we want to share the gospel with Muslims? People ask me, why you want to share the gospel with Muslims? It's not about Christian Project. It's not about the European leadership. Jesus says 2,000 years ago, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. This is about Jesus, about his fame, about his knowledge. It's not about anybody else. The reason I want to share the gospel with Muslims, because Jesus told me 2,000 years ago to do this. I'm not waiting for the White House to tell me what to do. I'm not waiting for the United Nations to tell me what to do. I know what to do. Jesus told me what to do. So we as believers have a great opportunity. The 21st century is a great opportunity. People can get cell phones, iPhones, Facebook. They can get on the internet. A friend of mine became friends with 500 Saudis on Facebook and shared the gospel with 500 Saudis. Hallelujah. I can go share the gospel in Saudi Arabia, but I can share the gospel on Facebook. And the next hour, what I want to share with you is how to witness to Muslims. I don't want to talk about Islam. I want to talk how to witness. Because everybody thinks that the more we know about Islam, the better effective we are. That's not true. You need to know what is Jesus' way of witnessing. So guess what? We're going to look at the Bible. Oops, hello. Yeah. We're not going to look in the Quran. We're going to look at the Bible first. What does Jesus teach us in sharing the good news with Muslims? On your chair also, gave you this card, has all our resources. We like to give Christians outreach resources and training resources. So please, I'm asking you as a brother in Christ, whatever you learn this hour, go find 10 people and train them. Our Bridges study, it's a DVD study. It's 6 sessions. It's now in Korean, Chinese, Russian, Spanish, and Arabic and English. It's 2 DVDs. The first DVD is to immunize you from Islam. Because let's talk about Islam. My favorite is Islam is a peaceful religion. And for me, like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean when you say Islam is peaceful? Like, they're peaceful to each other? That's not true. In the last 1,400 years, more Muslims died on the hands of other Muslims than anyone else. So please, they're not peaceful to each other. Are they peaceful to minorities? That's not true. A Shia in Saudi Arabia is not happy. A Sunni in Iran is not happy. So what do you mean by it's a peaceful religion? It's always good to ask your Muslim friend when he says Islam is a peaceful religion, say, what do you mean with that? The first one immunizes you. The second one infects you. We want to be contagious. How do you say contagious in German? We want to go to our church, my brother, and we want to infect the Germans. The Germans do things right. You heard of Martin Luther. How about the Dutch? Oh, I love the Dutch. You know, when they had problems in the Middle East with water, do you know who they called first? Dutch people, because you can take land from the sea. How can you do that? Smart people. They could take in land. I landed in the airport Schiphol. It used to be underwater, right? Now it's, you can have an airport. Wow. God's going to use you, whoever you are, in your community to infect the Christians. Our message and our method is not having experts in Islam. Yes, we need those. We need the experts in Islam. But the method is everybody needs to share. Everybody needs to know how to share. So we give people tools. Tools on how to begin a conversation. It's very important how to begin a conversation. It's also very important how to end the conversation. Oh. Most of the time we think, well, I started and I shared the gospel and that's it. One guy said to me, I told them that Muhammad is not a prophet. I said, how'd that go? We think you and I are the first person they're going to meet. Not necessarily. I was in Marrakesh. First trip to Marrakesh. We're distributing Bibles. I enter the store, and this guy says to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm an Arab Christian. He unlocks a drawer and pulls an Arabic New Testament. Ooh, somebody beat me there. I thought I was the only one. Right? We think, I'm the only one. I'm the only one in Marrakesh talking about Jesus. No, Jesus is building his church. You and I, we're not building the church. He is. We're just invited to come. Isn't that great how Jesus loves me so much? He invited me to come. So these are the websites. Oh, we moved too fast. Two websites, please. CrescentProject.org, CrescentProject.tv, all our resources. Also, UnlockTheTruth.net. If you want to download it as an app, it's also downloadable as an app. This is the city. I grew up 5 blocks from the seashore. I became a believer. My father started Campus Crusade for Christ in Lebanon, but I was not a believer. I became an atheist during the war. I hated the Israelis because I have cousins who fought in the Golan Heights and died fighting the Israelis. So I hated Jewish people, and the other people I hated were the Palestinians. I hated the Palestinians because they bombed and killed my friend Walid at age 18. So during the war in Lebanon, I had so much hate in my heart. And I started studying different religions because a friend asked me, Fuad, if you die tomorrow, where will you go? I said, well, I don't believe in God. He said, but it's too late then, if there is a God. So I decided to become an agnostic. That's a good word. Is there a God? I don't know. Then I started studying different religions, and what hit me that Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, love your enemies. But then this verse really impacted me. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends. So this information was in the mind. How did it come to the heart? We have family friends that were eating dinner during the civil war in Lebanon. And the two-year-old son spilled milk. He has 4 kids, so the two-year-old spilled milk. The father took up the son, went to wash his hands. While he's in the bathroom, a mortar shell came through the balcony door, exploded in the middle of the table. So wife and 3 kids' pieces on the wall. The man survived, picked up the plastic bag, and picked up the pieces and buried his family in one bag. And that was the trigger to move the information about Jesus from the mind to the heart. Jesus, to me, was the Savior. Now he is my Savior. I went to my room, I closed the door, and I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, when you came to earth, you healed the sick and raised the dead. Forgive me that I hate Jewish people. Forgive me that I hate Palestinians. The more there is war in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of peace. The more there is hate in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of love. And God changed my heart. I started sharing the gospel with my Shiite classmates, my Sunni classmates, Catholic, Druze, anybody started sharing the gospel with them. Now, how did the gospel come to our house, to our family? My grandfather in 1914 ran away from the Turkish army. And they gave him a ticket, his mother bought him a ticket, to go to Ellis Island in America. So he went Beirut, Marseille, in France, and then Marseille, Ellis Island. When he gets to Ellis Island, they told him, go to Ohio. He goes to Ohio. 3 months later, his friend invites him to church. Who's speaking? A missionary who's working in Beirut, coming back. My grandfather, 18 years old, for the first time hears the gospel from a missionary working in Lebanon, coming back. God is actively involved. That Muslim person in your neighborhood, that Muslim person who just got a visa to your country, God is actively involved. Lebanon is in the heart of the 1040 window. And I share with you, please, when you meet Muslims, they've never seen a page of the Bible. Never. Their view of Christianity, their view of even the West is from television. So the struggle for us, when you talk to Muslims, they don't have the clear information. When I started witnessing to Muslims, it was 1979. And I remember they would say, you Christians worship three gods. So immediately I started talking about Trinity. But then one day the Lord said to me, why don't you ask him what three gods? So this guy said to me, you guys worship three gods. I said, we do? Which ones? He goes, God the Father, Mary the Mother, Jesus the baby. I'm like, no. So the Trinity in Islam they talk about is God the Father, Mary the Mother, and Jesus the Son, but they think of him as the baby. That's not Trinity. That's blasphemy. We don't believe there was that God had sexual relationship with Mary. So many times when you meet Muslims, remember, they don't know. They don't know. 80% of Muslims you meet have never read the Quran. Not only never read the Bible, have never read the Quran. Maybe they heard it chanted, you know, maybe they read pieces, but they never sat down and read it from beginning to end. They are what we call cultural Muslims. We were distributing Bibles in southern Spain. Every year we distribute Bibles. We do a mission trip, but I was distributing Bibles, and the table was next to the curb. So this car slows down. The guy driving had a beard down to his second button, bushy beard, which means he's a devout Muslim. So he rolls down the window. I say, Assalamu alaikum. He says, Wa alaikum salam. I said, sir, we're giving the Injil. Injil in Arabic means good news, or the book of Jesus is called Injil. So we're giving the Injil of Jesus. So he looks at me and goes, I am the Imam of Amsterdam. I don't know if he was, but he said he's the Imam. And he's Moroccan who moved to Holland. I said, well, nice meeting you. He goes, have you read the Quran? I said, yes, 16 times. He goes, in Arabic? I said, yeah, in Arabic. I look French to you, I'm an Arab. So he laughed. He goes, well, since you read the Quran, give me the Bible. I want to read the Bible. So I give him the Injil. He drove. I'm thinking to myself, I am an evangelical minister. I've read the Quran 16 times, now 19 times. He is the Imam. He's never read the book of Jesus. So when Muslims ask him about Jesus, what does he tell them about Jesus? Nothing. He's never read the book. So the idea that they're coming to Europe or America or Brazil or whatever, they are coming to a place they have an opportunity to hear. They have opportunity to hear. Now, this is the point, the bridges. I'd love for you guys to use it. And what I'm going to share is in our intensive training. Once a year, we have a one-week training, how to plant churches among Muslims. Sahara is the name of the desert. We believe Muslims are in a spiritual desert. And they need Jesus who says, I am the water of life. So the way I would like to do this session, like we do it in our training, I'll cover some materials for about 12, 15 minutes. Then we'll take questions, okay? And then we'll cover more materials, take questions. Is that okay? Is that all right? Thank you. The tagline, Muslims are searching. Let's go prepared. We'll be in the supermarket. We see somebody with a hijab. We go the other way. Why? She already tells you she's a Muslim, right? She's wearing a hijab. So let's go. So I'm flying from Chicago. I'm waiting for the train to come here. And the lady next to me had a hijab. So I said, Assalamu alaikum. Means peace be upon you. She goes, Wa alaikum salam. I said, where are you from? She goes, I'm from Morocco. I said, I'm from Lebanon. We started talking a little bit. I said, I would like you to give you this book, Adha in the Injil. Do you read Arabic? She said, yes. Adha is the word sacrifice. It's a celebration they do. Injil is New Testament. So she took it. She goes, thank you. I'd like to know about the Injil. Well, I was just standing there waiting for the train to come to go to my next terminal. So the idea is they are searching. Let's go prepared. Instead of when we see somebody, go the other way. No, when you see a Muslim, go their way because they've never heard the gospel. Also, everything I'm going to say is in this book. Connecting with Muslims is the book that came out last year. The first section is speaking like Jesus. Ministry and sharing the gospel is speaking like Jesus, not speaking about Jesus. The second section is six questions that Muslims ask and how to use the question to share the gospel. So the title sometimes I use, compelling evangelism, how to speak so people can want to talk to you more. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, this is our first attitude that we need to have. Jesus says, All authority where? In heaven and earth has been given to whom? Jesus. Who's stronger, Jesus or Ahmadinejad? Who's stronger, Jesus or United Nations? So my brother, my sister, what you see on the outside, remember God is working on the inside. Because he has all the authority, therefore what? Go. You must take the initiative. When you meet a Muslim, don't ask, should I share the gospel? Don't ask that question. Say, Lord, open the conversation. This is a small prayer. I'll teach it to you. When you meet somebody, Muslim or not Muslim, the person who discipled me taught me to do this. If Muslim or not Muslim, say, Lord, I'm ready to share about you. You open the conversation. I was from a flight from Beirut to Istanbul. I got the seat on the aisle, and this guy sat on the window. So he put the seatbelt on. I said, great, he's going nowhere. Let's talk about Jesus. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm ready to share about you. You open the conversation. Now be ready. If you pray this prayer, be ready. Once I finished, he looked at me. He goes, hi, my name is Tufi. I said, my name is Fuad. He goes, I'm studying to become an architect. What do you do? Thank you for asking. I said to him, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He goes, what kind of a job is that? I said, I dedicated my life to tell people about the teachings of Jesus. And I had a booklet that explains the way of salvation. We get to the prayer of the sinner's prayer. Tufi looks at me, goes, Fuad, for 2 years, I've been looking to repent from my sins. I don't know what he did, but Jesus was there before me. He was already convicted of his sin. I said, okay, when you get to Istanbul, to the hotel, you can read this prayer, but it doesn't matter what you say. It matters your heart. Ask God to forgive you for what Jesus did on the cross. He goes, I'm not waiting for Istanbul. I'm praying for you, with you on this plane. So Tufi leaves Beirut, a not believer, and lands in Istanbul, a believer. My brother, my sister, you and I must take the initiative. This is not about our church, no. It's not about the Protestant movement. It's not about the Catholic Church. It's about Jesus. He is our master. It does not matter if there's one believer in Europe. We are still going to follow Jesus. If all countries become Muslims, we are still going to be followers of Jesus. I was speaking, and this guy stood in back and said, Mr. Masri, by 2050, there'll be more Muslims than any other religion on earth. I said, great. More Muslims to tell about Jesus. When was this given? When did Jesus say that? I think you're falling asleep on me. It's in the afternoon. When did Jesus say this? After the resurrection, how many people were listening? 400 people. And there was no constitution. There was no Magna Carta. There was no United Nations. There was no internet, Bibles, and languages. He told the disciples to go to every nation. So my brother, my sister, this is God's command, and he will make it happen. The second thing is they insult us. Time magazine had this article. I was so insulted. Should Christians convert Muslims? That's rude because no Christian believe we convert anybody. Who does the conversion? God does the conversion. So this title isn't offensive. What if I said, hey, Time magazine, should Muslims kill Christians? Oh, no, Islam is a peaceful religion. But it's okay to insult us. This is an insult. Jesus says we are what? Christ's ambassadors. Please, my brother and my sister, I'm talking to you as a friend. The most depressing conversation, I was a young man. I had hair then. A man, missionary, put his hand on my shoulder when I told him I want to dedicate my life to tell Muslims about Jesus. He said to me, Fuad, I served 10 years in North Africa and had 2 converts. So I went to my room very depressed, thinking to myself, wow, 10 years, 2 converts? And the Lord said to me, why are you upset? One of those converts could be the Billy Graham of their country. Oh, you and I, our job is to be an ambassador. Our job is to represent. We don't make people citizens. If we tell all Muslims about Jesus and they all say no to Jesus, so they said no, how are we going to heaven? How are you going to heaven? Because of the merits of Jesus, because of the righteousness of Jesus. So if they come to Christ, hallelujah. If they don't come to Christ, hallelujah. Enjoy the journey. You know, people get depressed. You know, I shared the gospel, and one guy said to me, sent me an email. He goes, I gave him the booklet, and he didn't get saved. I said, sir, it's not about the booklet. So you gave him the booklet. I was on a flight last year. I was flying through Paris, and the guy said, coming out of the plane, asked me a question. He was an Arab. I said, Assalamu alaikum. We started talking. I said, I'm an evangelical minister. Have you read the New Testament? Have you read the Injil? He goes, yeah, I live in America. I know all about you evangelicals. I don't want to talk about Jesus. And he left. So what did I do? Started crying. What? Called my mom. Can you talk to me, mommy, now? What? Called my wife. He doesn't want to talk about Jesus. It's okay. What is my job? I'm an ambassador. Enjoy the journey. Rejoice. We have a great country. I've been a little bit in Germany. God willing, I'll go more. Been twice now in Germany, but I need to get out of Frankfurt. They always put us in the airport. Why? So get out. But it's amazing. I've been in Holland. I haven't been to your area. We need to go down. I want to go to Montenegro and all that. But to make a long story short, you have a beautiful country, right? Enjoy it. What country? Enjoy it. Shine the light of Jesus. You meet a Muslim, shine the light of Jesus. So please, we want to take the initiative. Second, you are an ambassador. It does not matter their response. That's between them and God. If you want to be theological, it's their response to God's work in their life. I believe no one has an excuse. By the time you die, God will have given you all the opportunities. I believe that. Just especially in the 21st century. There's so much going on. I just give me time. I want to share more testimonies. But it's important to establish. First, take the initiative. Second, share as an ambassador. Now, when you meet a Muslim, you want to be loving. The notes are on the app if you'd like. But what we mean by loving is compassionate. I was giving a training in the United States. And after the training, this lady came up and said to me, my neighbor is from Somalia. She saw her father get shot, tied to the back of a car, and dragged down the street. How can I share the gospel? I said, yes, share the gospel, but before you share the gospel, this lady needs you to love her, someone to listen to her. She went through a traumatic situation. So what I want to do this afternoon is help us as Christians to have an idea how to begin a conversation. You know, it's not about just directly saying our message. Be loving. My friend Muhammad is Sunni Muslim. He lives in America. 20 meters from his house is a church. On Friday, he goes to the mosque. On Sunday, he walks and argues with the Christians. 5 years later, he became a Christian. I said, Muhammad, why did you become a Christian? He goes, they loved me so much. Even when I was mean to Jesus and mean to the minister, the way they loved me, I know they are the true religion. My friend Jamili, a Shia, she met these people in a hamburger place. She worked in a hamburger place. And she asked her friends, do you want to go see the movies on Friday? And two of her friends were believers. They said, well, we can't do it this Friday because we have Bible study. She goes, oh, you study the Bible? I want to come. She doesn't have a car. They drove, picked her up. 20-minute drive, one way. 2 years later, she became a believer. She said, they listened to my questions, and sometimes I was rude. But when you show them love, how can you get over love? You want to argue theology? We can argue theology. I always tell Muslims, I love you. Yeah, I love you. I respect you. I don't love Islam. I don't respect Islam. That's a problem. But the Muslims, I love them. The people. You need to separate the people from the religion. They are misinformed. Second thing is be friendly. What does that mean? It doesn't mean they're your BFF on Facebook. That's not what I'm saying. Being friendly means you create an environment where you do not argue. Please, I'm not saying don't answer the theological argument. So if you want to talk about Trinity, Sonship of Christ, answer that. I'm saying create an environment that's not argumentative. Because we want them to feel safe. I was one time on a campus, and I met this guy, and he said to me, I'm Palestinian. I said, I'm Lebanese. And I started talking about Jesus. He goes, are you evangelical? I said, yeah, I'm an evangelical. He goes, you evangelicals hate Muslims, hate Muhammad. Turned out that 2 weeks before I met him, there was a minister who invited him to his office and for 3 hours was proving to him that Muhammad is not a prophet. Why do you want to go that way? Why do you want to argue? You and I are not the only one. You know, I'm Mr. Energy, right? You notice that I have a lot of energy, right? So I always think, oh, 1 billion Muslims, I can reach them. No, you can't reach them. No, Fuad, you cannot reach them. Only God can. And look how God set it up, that all of us are involved, not one, all of us. The Great Commission was given to everybody. So don't create an argument. And second, don't criticize. When you read the words of Jesus, whom did Jesus criticize? Who did he criticize? When he was walking and Zacchaeus was on the tree, and Zacchaeus says he was a chief tax collector. He was not a little bad guy, he was a big bad guy. Jesus looks at him and says, I'm coming to your house. Who did Jesus criticize? The Pharisees. Why? Because they were hypocrites. Where is hypocrites now? Where are they? Maybe in church. So if you see a hypocrite, you talk, you criticize him. But when you see someone who does not know Jesus, don't criticize. A Muslim friend from Libya, I was sharing the gospel. This is what he said to me. He says, Fuad, we Muslims know Islam is not working. But it's like living in a house with a roof that is leaking. It's better to be in the house, although the roof is leaking, than be outside in the rain. My Libyan friend needs me to tell him about the house of Jesus, where the roof doesn't leak. So when I want to spend time with a Muslim friend, I don't want to spend time criticizing Islam. When the sun rises, what happens to the stars? They disappear. Every 10 minutes, I'm going to lift up Jesus. I'm in a state called Minnesota, in the northern part of the United States, very cold state. When you get there, it's like negative 10 Fahrenheit, not even Celsius. So I'm in a taxi cab, and the cab driver is from Somalia. I said to him, you moved to Minnesota, it's cold here. He goes, yeah, it's cold, but it's safe. I said to him, many people in Minnesota are Christians. Have you read the Injil? Have you read the Bible? He said to me, are you Muslim? I said, Muslims believe that God sent the Bible. He said to me, the Bible has been corrupted. Tomorrow I'll share how to answer that question. I said to him, God forbid. No one can change God's word. God is strong, stronger than human. He goes, yeah, you're right. I said, would you like one? He said, sure. I had one Arabic Bible, Arabic English in my bag, gave it to him. It was a 10-minute conversation. We didn't talk about Islam. We didn't talk about Muhammad. We didn't talk about the problems in the Quran. I talked about Jesus and the Bible. So create a friendly environment. Thirdly, bridging. Everything we do in the book Connecting with Muslims, and everything I want to share this afternoon, is about building a bridge. Now, building a bridge is taking a similar concept, Islam, and a similar concept, Christianity. Watch the word, similar. They're not the same. The way Muslims see prayer is not the same. It's similar, but it's not the same. Fasting in Islam is similar, not the same. So you use that to build a bridge. Now, the goal of the bridge is to get somewhere, right? You can't start the bridge and talk about common ground all the time. Oh, you love Jesus. No, we love Jesus. Islam is nice religion. Christians are nice religion. That's all the common ground. That's important, but you need to move beyond common ground and build a bridge. And the goal of the bridge is to cross. Many people stand on the bridge like, ooh, check it out. Ooh, look at now. Nice, the bridge. No. Move the conversation. We were in Spain 3 years ago. We were in Madrid with a team, about 8 Americans, sharing with Muslims. So my friend is from Indiana, and he has a backpack with Arabic Bibles. And we're walking, and this guy out of the blue says, Salaam alaikum. I said, Walaikum salam. He goes, you speak Arabic, right? I said, yeah. He said, my name is Khalid. I said, my name is Fuad. We started talking. He said to me, I'd like to bring my son. There's a Christian church that has a daycare. I'd like my son to play there. They're good people. It was Ramadan. He looked at me and goes, are you fasting during Ramadan? I said, yeah, I'm fasting, but the Jesus way. He goes, you're fasting the Jesus way? I said, yeah. He goes, what is that? I said, I can't tell you. He goes, why you can't tell me? I said, Jesus says when you fast, no one should know. You don't tell anybody. He said, oh, when Muslims fast, CNN covers it. So my American friend says, ask him if he wants a Bible. I said, Khalid, would you like a Bible? He says, yeah, I want a Bible. I want to see what Jesus talks about fasting. Great idea. Let's bridge the gospel. What does Jesus say about money? Oh. What does Jesus say about politics? What does Jesus say about marriage? What I love about this conference is you are taking a stand against humanism, atheism. And let's take a stand about what Islam brings. The Islamic model of marriage is the worst if you look at it. Especially the practice of what they call mut'a or sighe or pleasure marriage. Or in America, they call it temporary marriage. It's temporary. It could be 2 hours, it could be 3 hours, it could be 2 days. Really? One Muslim apologist speaker, he said, well, it's better than adultery. Oh, well, in that case, when I call my wife, say, honey, tonight I'm spending the night at wife number two. We're playing Monopoly. What are we doing? Playing chess? That's legalized prostitution. So take what where they are and bridge the gospel. Finally, biblical. Always use the word of God. Now, I know two people who can use the Quran in sharing the gospel. And one of them passed 5 years ago, one passed 2 years ago. So I know no one that effectively can use the Quran. If you start with the Quran, you end up with Islam. I'm not saying there are no bridges. Yes, there are bridges. Yes, there are bridges. But if you think that you can share the gospel from the Quran, you can't. The Quran was written for Islam to chapter 9, chapter 47, chapter 25. It's a problem for any Christian. Chapter 4, verse 34, on allowing men to be their wives. I mean, how can you say it's the word of God? I mean, my wife and I have been married 23 years. When is a good time for me to beat my wife? When? Like when like she doesn't do good eggs? Well, what is that? So we have a struggle with the Quran. So instead of using the Quran, I use bridges. If they say, oh, the Quran says something, I always come with the Bible. I was speaking at a conference in a hotel, the Hyatt Regency. I don't know if you've heard about the hotel. So my microphone wasn't working. So the lady helping, the responsible salesperson, she gets on her walkie-talkie, you know, walkie-talkie. She goes, Abdul, where are you? We need you. I said, Abdul, he might be my cousin. Let me wait. So Abdul shows up. He's from Morocco. He's lived 6 years in that city. He says to me, Assalamu alaikum. I said, Wa alaikum assalam. Where are you from? He goes, Morocco. I said, I'm from Lebanon. He goes, what are you here to do? I said, I'm speaking on how to build bridges between Muslims and Christians. So he says to me, oh, we are the same religion. How does he say that? But he said that. I said to him, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, Muhammad said that. I said, Muhammad said that too? He goes, yeah, in the hadith is the traditions of Muhammad. In the hadith, Muhammad said, if you buy a leg of lamb, wrap it with paper, so if your neighbor is poor, he will not see the meat and get jealous. I said, okay, I don't know, close, maybe. Then I said to him, Jesus says, love your enemies. He said, Jesus says, love your enemies? I had the Arabic Bible. I opened where Jesus tells Peter, put your sword back. Whoever lives by the sword dies by the sword. He read it in Arabic. He goes, can I get the Injil? I said, sure. Bridge the gospel and use the Bible. Use the Bible. What does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about resurrection? What does the Bible say about heaven? So it's very important we are what? Four attitudes. Let me see if I did a good job. What's the first one? You want to be loving. Second one? Friendly. Oh, I did not do a good job. Third one? Bridging. Last one? Biblical. Okay, let's do this one more time. When you meet a Muslim, you want to be loving, friendly, bridging, biblical. Even if they had a long beard and they smell like garlic, it's okay. You can be loving, friendly, bridging, biblical. It's okay. Jesus wants us to do this. Now, three types of Muslims. The most Muslims you meet are cultural Muslims. They're Muslim because they're from Afghanistan, from Iran. You know, they're Muslim because their family are Muslim. In America, my son was playing with a little boy when he was 8 years old. The little boy looked Lebanese, but his name was Andrew. So once a year, they have a teacher-parent meeting. Do you have that in your country, where the teachers meet with the parents? In America, they have ice cream, you know, everybody gets some ice cream. So I said to my son, I said, Justin, when we go, tell me where Andrew is so I can go meet his parents. So he points them to me. I go, they're from Lebanon. They're from Lebanon. They're Lebanese. The father's name is Ali. The wife was sitting there. She doesn't have the hijab. Sweet lady. I said, Assalamu alaikum. We talked. He's an engineer. I said, oh, your son's name is Andrew. He goes, his real name is Hassan, But in America, we called him Andrew. Okay, Andrew and Hassan, I don't know, it's like close. It was during Ramadan. I said to him, Ramadan Mubarak, God bless you during Ramadan. I always show respect. That's my savior. He taught me to respect people. I said to him, Ramadan Mubarak. He goes, oh, I'm not fasting. I don't know. He's not fasting. But my wife says I'm going to hell because I'm not fasting. So she looked at me, shook her head, says, no, I didn't say that. Then he said to me, Fuad, I told her, fast 30 days for you and the next 30 days fast for me. She can do that in Islam. So I looked at her and she smiled. She goes, I didn't say that. But fasting in America is hard. I said to her, why? She goes, in Lebanon, I'm fasting with my grandmother, my aunts, my nieces. And it's hard for women because they have to make the meal and not eat, not drink water. And in Islam, if you swallow, you broke fast. Now, the men usually sleep, so they're not responsible to swallow if you're sleeping. Now, is this lady fasting because she is a devout Muslim or because she's a cultural Muslim? See, you and I think, oh, they put the hijab on, they must know the religion. No, most are nominal. Most are nominal. Next type, converts. Oh, I love talking about Jesus with converts. If you meet somebody who says, oh, I'm a convert to Islam, always tell them, great, what do you like about Islam? And find out what they like and then bring the word of Jesus. The third part is devout. 5 to 6% of every Muslim community are devout. It's okay. Can we talk to them about Jesus? Yes. 2 years ago, I had met the president of the Muslim Student Association, and he told me that he was reading the Bible. So 2 years ago, he called me, and he says, Fuad, I'm resigning from being the president of the Muslim Student Association. I said to him, why are you resigning? He said to me, I became a Christian and got baptized. I cannot be the president of the Muslim Student Association. So we prayed. He said to me, when should I tell my mother I'm a Christian? When should he tell his mother he's a Christian? Easter? How about Christmas? I said, what are you asking me? Tell the Lord. Ask the Lord. So the Lord told him. His sister was so upset, she started wearing the hijab. He calls me, he goes, my sister is not wearing the hijab and going to the mosque. I said, it's okay. It's okay. Let her drink salt water. How do you say water in your country? Apa? If you drink salt water, what happens? You want real up. Okay, before I came here, 10 days before I came here, I was at his wedding. His sister was on my table. She doesn't wear the hijab. She's been asking about reading the Bible and asking him, what does Jesus mean to you? So even if they're devout, it's okay. It's okay. Somebody told me, well, what if they're mad? What if they're militant? One guy said to me, I don't want to share the gospel with Muslims because they might blow up. No, they're not going to blow up, even if they're devout. In the Bible, in Acts, there was a man called Saul of Tarsus. Remember him? He was not a nice man. He was also smart. He got letters to kill us. And then Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? This is what I want to share with you guys. I've been sharing the gospel since 1979. We've never seen Muslims this open. Every week in my office, we hear of Muslims becoming Christian, Muslims taking Bibles. And I'm going to watch the clock because it's important for me that we end on time. But it's important to know that God is moving, even through the fanatic people. Thank you. The question you're saying, all these are concepts we can use with other people than Muslims. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through John 4 and get some more concepts for us that maybe you'd say, oh, I can use that with my cousin, with my neighbor, or my person. You're right. Because I don't believe witnessing to Muslims is really not any different. Because they are the same, you know. Yes, you're right. There'll be different, some questions on Trinity, Sonship of Christ. And we have the tools for them. However, this is what we discovered. When a Christian gets equipped on how to witness with Muslims and starts sharing, their faith grows. So now if they already had the courage to share with Muslims, if they meet Buddhist, Hindus, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, anybody, they are courageous enough to share. A minister called me and he said, this is what happened at our church. We had 12 people go through training. Each one of them had a Muslim friend after the training. And now they're becoming evangelists because they are not scared anymore. Because when you talk about Islam and Muhammad and all that, people get scared. So when you know how to begin a conversation, how to end it, it becomes transferable. Now please, these concepts, train someone else. I'm asking you, find 10 people, bring them and train them. If you can download the app, if you can get the Bridges study, train someone else. The first one-day training we did in America, we had 4. Right now, 24,000 just in America have gone through the one-day seminar. And through the DVD study, more than 15,000 people have gone through the Bridges DVD study. So it's important God is moving. This is a great text for us. It says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. Now that verse, sometimes we read the Bible too quick. I'm going to ask you guys, don't read the Bible too quick. I learned my lesson. That word saying he had to go through Samaria, well, he doesn't have to go through Samaria. He can go across the Jordan and go around. Because fanatic Jews did not want to be defiled by the Samaritans. So he is in a hurry. Jesus is in a hurry to get to Galilee. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. Jesus says, give me a drink. Jesus, take the initiative. That Muslim in your community, that Muslim in your sphere of influence, is your responsibility. Take the initiative. Jesus took the initiative. He could have waited for her to ask him. No, he said, give me water. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? The Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus just asked her, give me water. Right? And she moved the conversation to religion. That's what Muslims do. You say, hi, how are you? You say, I'm Muslim. Are you Muslim? For me, that's great. I love witnessing to Muslims. They just changed the conversation. Okay. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and flocks drank from it? What? Jesus said, give me a drink. It becomes Jew-Samaritan. Now, are you greater? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life. A secret police in a Muslim country raided a men's Bible study, 10 men. They threw them in prison. They're all Christian. They all tasted the water of life. What do you think they did in prison? Yes! Other prisoners started becoming Christian. So the head of the prison brought them to his office. He said, you're giving me problems. I'm going to do a new strategy. I'm separating you. Each one is going to go to a different prison. Thank you. A church planting. Distribute the church. Yes. Jesus says, when I give you water, it gushes. It does not matter how many Christians are in Romania. It does not matter how many Christians are in your country. Even if one person, Jesus started with 12 fishermen. And the woman says to him, give me this water so I may never be thirsty and have coming here. So she asked for a miracle. Jesus said to her, okay, go call your husband and come back. The woman said to him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. But the conversation started, I need a drink. Then she decides to ask a question. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is here. What? Why the hour is here? Because the Messiah is here. The hour is coming, but it's now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeks such as these to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The Quran never defines God. That's why when I watch television and the terrorists put their foot on the neck of the hostage and they take the sword and they say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Arabic, it means in the name of God, the merciful. And then they cut the head. How can you say in the name of God, the merciful, and cut the guy's head? Because Allah in Islam is not defined. He's unknowable, transcendent. For us, no, God is the spirit. This is the material world. He's in the spirit world. His ways are different than our ways. Suddenly, it's not about are you Samaritan or Jew. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim Shia or Muslim Sunni. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant. What matters, what does God want? What does God want? He wants us to come through the Messiah. So the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he. See, the original message of Jesus is he's the Messiah. But he does not begin there. When we talk about communication, this is how we do communication. You have a sender. I have a message. So I have a sender. I'm putting in English. Hopefully everybody understands my English. If you don't understand, raise your hand, please. But there's a message, right? And then you do what we call decoding. So they are the receiver. And then you give feedback, right? So if I tell a joke and you don't laugh, I feel, okay, you guys didn't understand what I'm saying, right? If I say a story that you don't nod your head like you're not, so that's feedback. With Christ, the sender is at a different level spiritually. So the first message is at the level of the receiver. Most of the time when we talk to Muslims, we start the conversation on our level. Oh, we have to talk to them about salvation by grace. But that's your level. Where is that person? Is he devout? Is he nominal? Are they Sunni? Are they Shiites? Are they refugees? Are they students? What are they? Are they refugees? Maybe the first message, hey, would you like to learn the language? Do you need something? Maybe they're students. Would you like someone to help you with your homework? We are discovering that the loneliest people, Muslim people, immigrants, are the wives. Partly because they don't speak the language, the husband's out there working, and they're home. Many times they love to go to the park. What do you say, park? Do you have that in Europe? I love European culture. There's a lot of parks. Well, it's a great place to go. If you have friends who have kids, take them out. It's great. Kids always meet each other, you know? Have you seen two-year-old kids? They always talk to each other. If they're walking, they walk towards each other, you know? And that's how you can meet the family. He started on giving me water. The feedback moved the conversation different level. She said, I'm Samaritan. Then he asked her, so the Jesus style, Jesus speaking like Jesus, is giving a message and following the feedback. So how long does it take for a Christian to become for a Muslim to become a Christian? How long? 2 years? Maybe. It's according to God and according to his response. So this conversation can happen in 10 minutes. It could happen over 2 years. A friend of mine, she became a Christian. She invited her Muslim husband to Bible study. On the second year, he attended the Bible study with her regularly, every week. On the second year, the pastor, the leader of the Bible study, takes her to the kitchen. He says, I've been praying. This is the year your husband will become a Christian. If he doesn't become a Christian this year, he's not predestined to be saved. She says, like he took my heart and stomped on it in the kitchen. Her husband, PhD in engineering, got saved 17 years later. Alone, when his best friend stole the money, embezzled from the company. When was Jesus working? In year one, in year two, or year 17? God is working all the time. So maybe I meet Muhammad while I'm flying to Frankfurt and I say to him, would you like to read the Bible? And he starts reading the Bible. And he lands in Frankfurt and meets another brother who says to him, Would you like to read the Bible? He goes, oh yeah, I met somebody from Lebanon, gave me a Bible. Can somebody explain to me? See, you and I are part of the process. That's why it's not only important how to begin, but also important how to finish. So when I'm finished, I want to make sure the door is open for another believer. Jesus says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to do his work. Do you not say 4 months more than comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are. The fields are what? Ripe for harvesting. When I was at Fuller Seminary for my master's in Islamic studies, my classmate said to me, it's not time for Muslims. Is he right? Is it not time for Muslims? 2,000 years ago, Jesus says the fields are wide. So we're late. We better catch up. You know who's open now? The Syrians are open the gospel. The Iranians are open the gospels. The Afghans open the gospels. Bangladesh, right now Bangladesh is considering changing the constitution to say that Bangladesh is a country for all Bengalis. Because right now it says Bangladesh is a Muslim country, and the Hindus and the Christians are saying, well, aren't we Bengalis like you? And with the rise of ISIS, they're reconsidering. Tunisia just changed their constitution. You're allowed to change religion in Tunisia. God is moving. God is moving. Now, may I share something here just for us before we wrap everything up? Jesus says, 4 months more than the comes harvest. I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering food for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice. Okay, the sower puts the seed, but he doesn't see the harvest. The harvester sees the seed. Oh, look! People are coming. Jesus says that the sower and the harvester rejoice. Okay, I understand the harvester rejoices, sure. But how does the sower rejoice? How does the sower rejoice? Talking to Muhammad, you sow the seed, you water the seed, you're talking to Fatima, you sow the seed, you water the seed, and there's no harvest. How do you rejoice? By faith, my words will never return void. Isaiah 55, a Shia Muslim is spending time in Costa Rica. He's on a flight and he sits by a pastor who did the Bridges study in Spanish. It's called Puentes. Of all the people on the flight, he sits by the pastor who did Puentes. God is actively involved on this planet. The pastor shares the gospel with him. He takes the Bible. He reads it for a year. He told me, I read the Sermon on the Mount. In Arabic, Jesus says, "Tuba li'anqiya al-qalb li'annahum yu'ayinun Allah." Blessed are the pure of spirit, for they will see God. And he gets baptized. So how do you rejoice? My brother, my sister, it does not matter the response. What matters is that you and I, we sow the seed, we water the seed. One person sows, one person waters, one person harvests. In the book, there's some approaches for you to use. We have a list of ideas for you, but I have a news for you. The Holy Spirit will give you your own ideas. And please email me how God used you. But always, this is a marathon. My wife just walked the marathon. This happens in my city of Indianapolis. It's not about the booklet. It's not about an event. It's just run the distance. It might take 17 years. It might take 17 minutes. The speed is on their response to God's work. God is working all the time. It's their response. You are there to show them love.